Perhaps we could look at scripture first in the first book of Kings. First book of Kings, chapter 17, and read from verse 10. And he arose, that's Elijah, he arose and went to Zarephath. When he came to the entrance of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And she went to fetch it. And he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And she said, "As Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah says to her, "Fear not, go, do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it to me. And afterwards make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith Jehovah the God of Israel, the meal in the barrel shall not waste, neither shall the oil in the cruse fail, until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the face of the earth." And she went and did according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her house ate a whole year. The meal in the barrel did not waste, neither did the oil in the cruse fail, according to the word of Jehovah, which he had spoken through Elijah. In the next chapter, verse 41, "And Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. And Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he bowed down on the earth, and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there is a cloud, small as a man's hand, arising out of the sea. Verse 45, and it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heavens became black with clouds and wind, and there was a great pour of rain. And now in the second book of Kings, chapter 4. Chapter 4 of the second book, reading from verse 1. "And a woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant feared Jehovah, and the creditor is come to take my two children to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid has not anything at all in the house, but a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow for thyself vessels abroad from all thy neighbours, empty vessels. Let them not be few. And go in and shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and set aside what is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and they brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said to her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, and she came and told the man of God. And he said to her, go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live, thou and thy sons, on the rest." And just finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 6 of John's Gospel, read from verse 5. "Jesus then, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a great crowd is coming to him, says to Philip, when shall we buy loaves that these may eat? But this he said, trying him, for he knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, loaves for 200 denarii are not sufficient for them, that each may have some little portion. one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, says to him, "There is a little boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but this, what is it for so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, distributed them to those that were set down. And in like manner of the small fishes, as much as they would. And when they had been filled, he says to his disciples, "Gather together the fragments, which are over and above, that nothing may be lost." And they gathered them therefore together and filled 12 handbaskets full of fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were over and above to those that had eaten. I've read these scriptures, dear hearers, so as we can get the context of what I have on my heart, and that is the abundance of divine supply. We've been speaking this afternoon of what is measured out to each one. And I've been thinking in the interval about how, knowing my own heart, how easy it is to underestimate what God has measured to us. How easy it is to make little of it and feel, well, what I've got really isn't worth talking about. I think these scriptures might encourage us, will keep us humble, but encourage us to see that what we've got is sufficient not to think about dying, but sufficient for us to live with and to be able to be here as persons who can be in the kingdom in a vital way. One of the first things of the kingdom is righteousness. And one of the scriptures we've read, the widow, the woman, was able to pay all her debts and live. So I was led to these scriptures of Elijah and Elisha. They're very interesting passages of scripture, well-known passages. I trust the Lord will just bring in what's needed to encourage us all. When I was asked to come here, one of the things that was said to me, could I come with a little encouragement? Well, you know, there's only one who can encourage, and that's the Lord Jesus himself. He's the one who can bring in encouragement. And one of my earnest prayers has been in relation to this, that I don't stand in the way of that, but make way for him to bring in just what is needed. Elijah is a very interesting prophet. He was a man that knew great episodes, but he had to be brought to be very dependent. Yet in his dependency, I don't think he ever lost how God had the supply that was needed for every situation. And here he is in the scripture that we read in chapter 17. He had prophesied there was going to be a famine and a drought, there'd be no rain. And he first of all went to a torrent, and where he was fed, as we know, by the ravens. And then this torrent dried up. And he was told that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which is by Zion, and abide there, for I have commanded a widow woman there to maintain thee." Now that was the direction that Elijah got. How dependent it would keep him, wouldn't it? Having brought in the word of God, there was going to be famine and drought and no rain. He experienced the torrent drying up, and then he was going to experience now to go into the city and find someone who was going to maintain him. He comes to the city, and what does he meet? He meets this woman gathering sticks. And he says to her, "Fetch me a little water that I may drink." And she fetched it. And then he says to me, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." And then she says, Very interesting what she says. As Jehovah thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. I'm gathering two sticks, she says. Doesn't say she's gathering even a bundle of sticks, just two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. What an outlook. You know, if that was you or me meeting someone who we had been told was going to maintain us, and we meet someone who's just really come to their wits' end, all they've got is a cake. They've not got a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And they're going to eat it and they're going to die. But you know, Elijah says to her, fear not. That would be the word, I think, to us tonight. Fear not. There's abundance of supply with God for everyone who's precious to him. And that's, if everyone in this room has got a link with the Saviour tonight, and I trust you have, you young people, I trust you know Jesus as your own personal Saviour, one who loves you. One of the first hymns, I suppose, that most of you sing, and it was the first hymn that I was ever able to repeat, and I was not very good at repeating anything, but I could repeat, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you've got that in your heart, and you've accepted it, that you know it for yourself, as well as knowing that the Bible says so, you know you are very precious to the heart of God, because you've cost him the giving of his only beloved Son. And the touch I'd like to leave with you tonight is the words, fear not. Whatever you're facing, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's problems at home, whether it's problems in the testimony, whatever it may be, let's have a fresh touch tonight that God has got an abundance of supply for you on the basis that you're prepared to lay yourself at his command. So Elijah says, fear not, do as thou hast said. He doesn't reprimand her for what she said. You know what a gracious God we've got. We've got a God who is marked by compassion, a Saviour God who loves us, who's given all that he could give, God so loved that he gave, that his feelings towards us are such he knows when we get down and get depressed and feel as if, well, this is it, this is the end. He knows all about it. And so Elijah doesn't reprimand her for what she said. In fact, he says to her, fear not, go, do as thou hast said. Then he brings the touching, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it to me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. In other words, he was really saying to her, well, fear not, but are you prepared to put yourself, like we had in Romans this afternoon, presenting your body a living sacrifice? Are you prepared to do something for me? He was the man of God at the time, bringing in God's word. And the interesting thing is that when he says that, he goes on to say, for Jehovah the God of Israel has said, the meal in the barrel shall not waste, neither shall the oil in the cruse fail, until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the face of the earth. And she went and did according to the word of Elijah. This is the encouragement, you know, that God would bring in tonight, that in his word, and the word is the scriptures that we've got, let us value the scriptures. As you pick up the word and read it in dependence, God will tell you something from the scriptures. I trust that from these scriptures we've read alone, without what I'm saying, that there's a word in them for each one of us. And the thing is to act according to that word, independence. And she did it. And the wonderful thing is that as doing it, it says that she ate a whole year. Or we can read days. And the meal in the barrel didn't waste. neither did the oil in the cruse fail according to the word of Jehovah. You know how we need to value the word of Jehovah. One of the things I've noticed about these scriptures, and we've been reading Kings at home at Wolverhampton, and I think up to this point, about 14 or more times, you get reference to the word of Jehovah coming in. And here the word of Jehovah came into this woman who at one point was just going to sit down and have a meal and die. And here she is, she acts according to the word of Jehovah. And she lives, it says, they lived for a whole year, and the meal didn't waste according to the word of Jehovah. What an encouragement, you know, that would have been to Elijah. Because he enjoyed that food, he ate with her. You notice it says that she and he and her house ate. Think of how he was maintained. He was maintained on the basis of someone who was really just reaching the end of things, but acted on the word of Jehovah and made that little cake first. She not only maintained herself, but she maintained Elijah. Well, in the next section that we read, this is still Elijah, and this is the point coming to where the rain is going to return again. And it shows what Elijah, you know, had to go through more deep exercise in relation to this. But the great thing is that it was there. There was an answer. Elijah had said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." And yet, having said that, he goes up onto Mount Carmel, to the top of Carmel, and it says that he bowed down on the earth and put his face between his knees. I think that brings home to us, you know, the need of prayer. The need of supplication, praying. The scripture speaks somewhere of praying with prayer. And I think from my own experience, all I can pass on is what I've experienced myself, that often there's been a lack because of the lack of prayer. You know, many of our fellow Christians, who perhaps we don't meet very often, but only now and again, I've been amazed at how they depend on prayer. The amount of prayer that is done by many puts some of us to shame. And I would encourage us tonight, I don't want to put us to shame really, but it brings it home to my own heart. Let us pray more. Elijah, after all he had been through, he had known what it was for God to answer him and bring down fire upon the altar, and the prophets of Baal be consumed. Yet here he is, the end of his prophecy, that rain was coming, he still had to go up onto the mount. It says he bowed down and put his head between his knees. And besides that, he sent his servant to go and look. You know what it must have been like for him. His servant went, looked out, said, "There's nothing. There is nothing," he said. He said, "Go again 7 times. I often wonder, you know, what that would have been like for Elijah. There he was, he prophesied, the word of God had come, that rain was coming in abundance. Then as soon as after this exercise of prayer, I think the 7 times would be a sense of being complete in it. You know, we have a prayer meeting, if we can, on a Monday night. Sometimes it has to be another night of the week to suit the circumstances. But think of the prayer that you and I can be involved in privately. How much we need it. I remember a brother once saying that if he had his time over again, that he would read less and pray more. Very real. Don't know whether I've taken a lot of advantage of that myself yet, but how much we should be more cast, you know, upon God, who has in his hands the measure of supply that we need. You know, it does us good sometimes. I remember I was down a little bit myself a few weeks back, and I took up the Bible and I read Isaiah chapter 40. And there's nothing like it, is there, to bring back to you the greatness of God and what he has in his disposal. He speaks even of measuring the dust of the earth in his hand. And yet you think of it, he measures to you and to me. He measures a measure of faith. There's the measure of grace in Christ. There's the Spirit that is given without measure. Wonderful thing. He measures out gifts that you can do and I can do to fit into the body, that according to the measure that we've got, we can fit together, as we had in the reading. And here, you know, the point comes seven times. A completeness. I think Elijah would have felt that things should be completed, and yet they were. The seventh time, the answer comes back. Behold, there is a cloud small as a man's hand. Now, what would you or I have done if we had been looking out, you know, waiting for rain, and all you see is a tiny cloud? Would you have risen up like Elijah did and told Ahab that there was abundance of rain coming? He did, you know. He moved on the fact that the cloud, small as a man's hand, was God's answer to his prayer. You know, the answer to our prayers, dear brethren, sometimes, speaking again for myself, we may feel that the answer to start with is very small. But what is very small here makes way for the words that we've read. And there was a great pour of rain. You know, what it must have meant, you know, to Elijah when he saw that great pour of rain come down. An answer to seeing, an answer to exercise and prayer, and an answer to accepting that cloud, small as a man's hand. You know, we often look for big things, don't we? We pray, and rightly so, that our localities may be increased. We would love to see more, love to have more to have links of fellowship with. But you know, God moves in his own way. He may bring in something very small, but think of what he can make way for under his hand. There was an abundance of rain. Think of how the land flourished from that time onwards. Well, if we go on to the next scripture we read in 2 Kings, we've now come to the time of Elisha now. Elijah was a very interesting prophet, of course. He was one who suddenly appeared on the scene and suddenly disappeared too. He never died. He was like Enoch, except it says about Enoch that God took him. But Elijah was taken up, as we know, as the scripture tells us, in a whirlwind. And now Elisha is left. He's really left, and I think he makes way for something of the measure of the gift of grace that comes in now through Elisha. And here he is. We've reached a point where this woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cries to him. She's lost everything, lost her husband. Creditors have come to take their two children. And Elisha says to her, "What shall I do for thee?" Think of how the Lord might say to any one of us tonight, "What do you want me to do?" He said that, you know, to the blind man. "What will thou that I do for thee?" And the blind man, you know, knew he was blind. All he said, "That I might see." And he got his sight. You know, Christianity is simple. If only we could keep simple and to the point in relation to our needs. Because God knows what our needs are. As Paul could say, "My Father shall supply your needs according to the riches of his grace. Shall abundantly supply your need." So he says to her, "What shall I do for thee?" But then he brings in the point. This person had got something. And you know, every one of us in this room, as I said at the beginning, have got something. He says, "What hast thou in the house?" So she comes out with it, doesn't she? "Thy handmaid." Notice how it's worded. "As not anything at all in the house, but a pot of oil." As if the pot of oil was, well, it was hardly worth mentioning. Got nothing in the house but a pot of oil. I suppose the pot of oil, you know, could speak to us here of the Spirit. Think of the supply that's given, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You and I have got a measure of that supply. It's available, you know, to be filled. We were reminded this afternoon there were those at the beginning of the dispensation who were full of the Holy Spirit and of power. So he says to her, "Go borrow for thyself vessels from all thy neighbours, empty vessels, let it not be few, and go in and shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and pour out into all those vessels, and set aside what is full." This is where he brings into her now the need of a secret link, you know. Go in, it reminds me of the scripture of going into your closet and shutting the door. It speaks of the Father who knows in secret, shall render in secret to thee. Oh, how we need to cultivate that, you know, in our times of smallness, or in times of largeness. We need to constantly keep near our individual links of exercise. He told her to shut the door, her and her son. Not just bring empty vessels, no. She was to bring the empty vessels, not a few, but she was to shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and then pour out. And what did she find? That there was the pouring out, and every vessel was filled. Every vessel was filled. To the point that she asked for another vessel, and there wasn't one. I haven't got anything to say about that, but there must be some meaning in that, you know, that she asked for another vessel, and there wasn't one. I think it might just show that the few vessels that were brought in might be like the few of us brought together, you know, that has filled the sufficient. A company set together, filled, you know, as we make way for that little oil in a cruse, is sufficient now, as the prophet says to her, "Go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy sons on the rest." No thought of death, no thought of any unrighteousness. It's all been cleared. And she's able now to live on the rest. And that was because, again, she answered to the word that came in through Elisha and did what he said. For us, it really means, you know, that we take account of the necessity of our secret links with the Father, the one who will render in secret what is needed. I think that comes in, if I remember, in Matthew's Gospel, certainly twice, if not three times. I feel how little I've done it, but it's available. And as we do it, what we may look upon as little and almost not mentioned becomes the abundance of the supply to clear debts and to live on. Well, just finally, in John's Gospel, a touch, the Lord himself, when he was here, a very interesting passage this is, insomuch that Jesus takes account of a great crowd, and he's got his disciples with him, and Philip, here, he says to Philip, "When shall we buy loaves that these may eat?" Interesting what he says, isn't it? He asks Philip that question, you know. But this he said, trying him, For he knew what he was going to do. Think of the Lord asking a question, you know. The one who, the cattle upon a thousand hills are his. Everything is under his hand. The Father loves the Son, has given all things to be in his hand. And yet he says to Philip, he says to him, when shall we buy loaves that these may eat? But you notice, the Spirit of God adds those words that he knew what he was going to do. The Lord knows everything. The Lord knows every detail. Things happen to us individually. Things happen to us householdly. In our settings, things happen. Things happen in the world. The Lord knows everything. I am the first and the last. He knows the end from the beginning. Isn't that an encouragement to us, you know? So he says this to Philip. And of course Philip's answer is just like we would be. Philip answered him, loaves for 200 denarii are not sufficient. That was a large sum of money. And yet he said, even that isn't going to be sufficient for this crowd. There were 5,000 about. And then Andrew comes to the, another disciple comes in. Philip, you notice, says that each may have some little portion. How we get little things, don't we, in our mind? We don't value what God has given us because it's small. But what we've seen in Elisha is that he valued that cloud as small as a man's hand. He knew that there would be abundance of rain. Philip here says, 200 denarii, not enough loaves, not even, he says, to give them some little portion. It's all he got in his mind, that they should have some little portion. Then Andrew comes to the rescue. He says, there's a little boy here. Has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Not 2 fishes, 2 small fishes. And at that point, that's when Jesus takes over, you know. And you know, that's what we need in our localities and in our lives, for Jesus to come in and take over. Take thou our hand, Lord Jesus. Thou knowest best. He knows the very best for every one of us. Our individual walk, our collective walk. He knows what is the best for us. And at that point, when one of the disciples says, well, there is something here. We've got 5 barley loaves. You know, that's the first fruits, isn't it? Resurrection. 2 small fishes, the abundance of the seas. Think of that. There's 2 fishes out of that. And the Lord comes in, he says, make them sit down. These 5,000 people sit down in 100 companies of 50. And it's on the green grass, restful. And without going into the detail of the rest, what I want to bring in is that when the Lord comes in answer to someone saying, well, there is something here, the Lord takes it on. They're fed. And what does it say? Were they given just a little? No. It says, in like manner, Jesus, having took the loaves and given thanks, distributed them. In like manner, the small fishes, much as they would, and when they had been filled. Not just a little filled, when they had been filled. Oh, you know, Christianity has in mind that we should be filled. Not half empty, half full, or whatever way you like to put it. But that our hearts should be filled with Christ. Think of being filled, you know, on feeding on the resurrection of Christ, the first fruits. Think of being filled on the abundance of what's in his hand. The abundance of supply. He loves the assembly. Loves it. He cherishes it. Nurtures it. For that day of presentation. Think of it all being there in his hand. You know, as we make way for it, we can be filled. And then there was the gathering together of the fragments. And it says, filled 12 hand baskets full of fragments, which were over and above that what was eaten. There's not only the filling, you know, that we can enjoy, but there's what's left over. What's that for? That's for that to spread out. The rivers of living water flowing out towards mankind in the gospel. Wonderfully now, what can be known and generated together in our companies from what may seem very small, but sufficient then not only to fill us, but to flow out towards all. Well, maybe be encouraged, you know, dear brethren, in the abundance of what's in God's hand. It's there as we are ready to accept God's word and ready to accept that what may seem small, what he may give us and we may feel is small, is sufficient for us to pay our debt and to live. And here as in the Lord's hand, the sufficient to fill the company. Think of those 100 companies of 50. Think of them all being filled. And then there was 12 hand baskets over and above. Well, maybe know something of the abundance of supply, of divine supply for his name's sake.